there's new swords on the table in the foyer. Because if you take one of those new sword newspapers and lay it down on the front page, right under the masthead, on the top right, is the title of my sermon today. Okay, look, you have to find them where you can, all right? I remember years ago hearing a preacher at a fellowship meeting saying, when they start writing better sermons, I'll start preaching better sermons. Now, I want to preach to you this morning on If the Lord Be God. Amen. And that is the title of that message that's in the Sword of the Lord. And I did get my title from that. But I have yet to read the sermon. All right? So whatever similarity there is, and I really don't think there is because of the doing of God. But I happened to glance at that title, and just God began to work in my heart. And I believe he gave me the message I'm going to preach to you this morning. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you, okay? All I need you to do is just pay attention on purpose, would you? Amen. Just pay attention on purpose. We're going to begin reading in verse 17, 1 Kings 18. Oh, by the way, after church, you can pick up that sword and see if I'm telling you the truth or not, all right, about using that message. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. I just flat be honest with you, this Bible story thrills me every time I read it. I get something out of it. I loved it as a kid. As a kid, I imagined what it would have been like to be there that way. And I loved it then. I still love it now. I believe it has everything there could be to excite you. There is an underdog to root for. Elijah's one against 450, really 850. He's there. He's the underdog. You can root for him. Then there's a king and a crowd to root against. Sometimes I go to a ball game, I don't root for, I just root against. All right? I have to confess to you, and if it makes you mad, you can come to the altar after service, at the end of the service, get right with God. I root against the University of Oklahoma every time I can. All right? You say, I don't like that. Well, get right with God, all right? Be all right. Hey, not only is there a king and a crowd to root against, there's an underdog to root for, but there's an element of mystery. Hey, what's really going to happen? Then there's the supernatural. I mean, what is there not to like in this Bible account, all right? What's wrong with you if you can't find something? I'm glad Hollywood hasn't gotten hold of this and messed it up the way they do with everything else they get their hands on. But I'm glad when we think of this, we don't think of some goofy movie, all right? We think of what God did. Now, usually we preachers on this text concentrate on the fire coming down and the ungodly crowd being dealt with. I admit that. However, today I don't want to look, we're not even going to get to that part. I want us to concentrate and consider the phrase that's there in verse 21. If the Lord be God. If the Lord be God. I believe it'd be real hard to find a conjecture that would be more important. If the Lord be God. I want you to look with me this morning, three truths right here out of this passage of Scripture, okay? Number one, it is an exclusive position. If the Lord be God, hey, we're talking about a unique being. There's only one. In this day of mass production, hey, there's not very many really unique things you can buy because there's another one just like it. Now, I don't think it bothers us men if we come into church and we go, hey, your tie is just like mine. But we men don't go, well. But I've heard that there's some ladies get upset. They walk in, your dress just like my dress. Well, good Lord, can't you rejoice because somebody else has the excellent taste you do? Hey, the truth of the matter is, in this world of mass production, there's very few things that are really unique, all right? But there is only one God. There's only one God. Now, I want you to put your hand right here in 1 Kings, but I want you to turn in your Bible to the book of Isaiah. I want you to turn over to Isaiah chapter 46. Now, keep your place there in 1 Kings. We're coming back, all right? If the Lord be God, then we're talking about a very unique position. I want you to look in Isaiah chapter 46, would you? Isaiah chapter 46, look at verse 9. The Bible says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Notice there in verse 9, there is none like me. Then look, if we go in chapter 48, Isaiah. Chapter 48, verse 17. Isaiah 48:17, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Hey, this is the God that leads you, okay? He's an exclusive position. There in Isaiah chapter 49, Isaiah chapter 49, look if you will at verse 26. And I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood as with sweet wine, and all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One, One of Jacob. Amen. The Mighty One of Jacob. He's unique in its exclusive position. Isaiah chapter 45, I see some of you still got the doubt on you, okay? Isaiah chapter 45, look at verse 18, would you? Isaiah 45, verse 18, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, he created it not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited, I am the Lord and there is none else. So what's he said? He said he's the one. He's the only one. He's the one that none are like. He's the mighty one. And he's the one that'll lead you. Hey, we're talking about a very unique God. We're talking about an exclusive position. Exclusive position. Now back in 1 Kings 18, all right? Back to verse 21. Here's the deal. He said, if the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. Now, here's what exclusive really means. It means if the Lord be God, it ain't Baal. Amen. It's not Buddha. It's not Ashtaroth. That's another false god that's in the Bible. Hey, it isn't Allah. Hey, it isn't any one of the multiplicity of Hindu deities either. The Lord God Jehovah is his name. Amen. He's the exclusive one, all right? If the Lord be God. Now, Elijah said, we're going to settle this matter today for once and for all. He said, that's why I called you here. That exclusive position, if the Lord be God. Secondly, I want you to see this. Not only is it an exclusive position, but it brings about an exciting prospect. Boy, an exciting prospect. If the Lord be God, look down in verse 24. Elijah said, and call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. If the Lord is God, you can call on Him. You can call on Him. Jeremiah 33:3, our God invites us. In that verse, He says, call unto me. Call unto me. Hey, if He's God, okay, if He is God, you can call upon Him, all right? All through the Bible, over and over again, we find folks calling on God. All through the Word of God. Since He is God, what a blessing it is to know, not only can you call on Him, but He hears us. He hears us. You ever seen a TV show or something maybe where a person's trying to impress somebody else and they pick up the phone and they punch it in and they start talking like they're talking to somebody really important, but there's nobody on the other end of the line? I want to tell you this. What an exciting prospect it is to think we can call on Him, but not only can we call on Him, He hears us. He hears us. It does no good to call if no one is there to get the call. Does no good. Brother Chester, he gets here early on Sunday morning. And a matter of fact, he's usually on the parking lot when I drive up. And his wife runs him out of the house real early. No, I was kidding. He comes early and he's there. And so he came in and I was up here doing something. And he came in and he said, hey, the phone was ringing. Well, I wasn't there to hear it, you know, so I went back and I was able to look up on the caller ID and call back. Hey, but I tell you, it doesn't do any good to call if no one's there to get the call, right? I've got some friends. One of them sitting in this auditorium right now. They've got a cell phone. You call them, they don't answer, but you get this message. The person you're trying to reach has not set up their voicemail. Now, I don't want to name any names, all right? But one of them sitting in here today. You know, hey, I'll tell you this straight out. You with me? Hey, if there's nobody there to get the call, it doesn't do any good to call. But let me give you some testimony from the Word of God who some that called. In Psalms 3, verse 4, it says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me. He heard me. Psalm 34, 4, I sought the Lord, and He heard me. He heard me. Psalms 120 verse 1, in my distress I cried unto the Lord. You ready? And He heard me. What a blessed thing. You said they're all out of Psalms. Okay, Jonah chapter 2. And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and He heard me. Oh, what a blessing. Hey, what a prospect that is to know that He hears when we call. I want to tell you, if the Lord be God, that's an exciting prospect. So we know we can call. We know that He hears us. Wait a minute. Not only do we know He hears us, He'll answer. He'll answer. I quoted for you part of Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, just a while ago, when I said, God said unto us, call unto me. But the next part of that verse says, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Oh, mercy. What? Hey, this I want to tell you, that was the whole challenge from Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18. The whole challenge was, let's call on the Lord and see who's going to hear. See if He's going to do anything. See if He'll answer. Well, let's just see who's going to answer, all right? That was the whole challenge. He said, we're going to find out what God answered from heaven. He said, it is the Lord God who'll do that for us. Boy, isn't it exciting to think that the God, remember what we read over there in Isaiah? He said, I am the Lord. We're talking about the one that created this world. Isn't it exciting to think that we can call on him and he will act in our behalf? You ever think about how exciting that is? Sometimes I get a phone call and somebody will tell me this story and I'll tell them, hey, you know, I'm sorry, but there's just absolutely nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do to help you. I mean, can't do it. But I'm so glad when we pray and I called on the Lord, if the Lord be God, he hears us, and he's not handicapped in his ability to act upon what we do. In 1 Kings, excuse me, chapter 18, he sent fire from heaven. For one reason, because a man named Elijah that was his prophet asked him to do it. Just asked him to do it. Now, I'll be honest. I've never needed fire from heaven. Now, there's been a time or two I've maybe wanted it. But it's a good thing. I never asked for it. Hey, never needed fire from heaven. But I'm glad, so glad he's answered so many prayers for me. How about you? I've needed healing, and he's provided healing. I've needed help, and he sent the help that I need. I've needed direction. Lord, I don't know what to do. He sent direction. He's helped me. He said, there's it right there. That's what you need to do. He sent direction. There have been times I've needed comfort. And he delivered. He said, why? Because my God is the Lord. My God is the Lord. It's not Baal. Baal was not. Baal couldn't answer then, and he can't answer now. And by the way, you can go down to all the other gods that ever heard of, never been listed. But if the Lord's not your God, then your God's not going to answer. He cannot answer, all right? There's nothing he can do. So I'm telling you, if the Lord be God, that is a very exclusive position. There's only one. There's only one. And you read your Bible and you'll see that that one God says, I'm not sharing my glory with anybody. There's just one. And it's an exclusive position. But boy, does it ever give us an exciting prospect to think he's God. We can call to him, he'll hear us, and he'll act on our behalf. Hears from heaven, but he'll do something for us right here. Now, to me, all of that's good news. If I'd shut it off right here, you could go home saying, thank God, what a blessing. But if the Lord be God, is not only an exclusive position and an exciting prospect, but it comes, if you will, with what I call an exacting principle. Now I want you to notice, all right? I want you to notice in verse 24. Verse 24 with me, all right? Here's Elijah, and he says to these people, and call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and says, yep, that sounds good to me. It is well spoken. Good. Hey, but wait a minute. They were okay. This is the people. They were okay, do you see, with the exciting prospect. Who doesn't like fire from heaven? Come on, let's be honest. You would have enjoyed being there and seeing that happen. You could have said, hey, look at that. You could have been just as excited as they were. Unless you were the prophets of Baal, of course. They weren't excited. But other than that, I mean, if it's just out there as a spectacle, yeah, look at that. We get excited at the idea I can call on God and he'll answer me, he'll help me, he can send help. What a blessing that is. He hears me. He hears my cry. He does what I want. Hey, I read those verses back there and I said, I read verse Psalm 34:4. I sought the Lord and he heard me, but I didn't read the rest of the verse that says, and delivered me from all my fears. I read chapter 120, verse 1, I then cried unto the Lord, and he heard me, all right? Hey, but we leave out what he did sometimes. Well, wait a minute, God's able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. And we're excited at that, and we would be like the crowd there that said, that's well spoken, Elijah, yes! Well, wait a minute, back up to verse 21, would you? Verse 21, they weren't real excited about this exacting principle. Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long are you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. Silence descended on the assembly. Everybody was there, and everybody said, I ain't opening my mouth. I'm not getting excited about that. Now, you stay with me here, okay? Because I don't believe people have changed. We still get excited about the exciting prospect. Don't misunderstand what I'm fixing to say. Preacher, I have a friend, or my husband, or my wife, or my child, or my grandchild, or this person, they need your prayer. Would you pray for them? Would you help me pray for them? Please do that. Ask God to do something. I'll be glad to do it. We get excited about that, and we want people to pray, and we want God to act on our behalf. Not against that, and we should do it. It's scriptural. Our problem is when it comes down to the principle, if the Lord be God, then follow him, that we clam up. We get quiet. Can I say it to you this morning? If the Lord be God, he should be followed. He deserves that. Why? Because he's God. Because he's God. We get excited about getting things from him, but wait a minute. He says, Elijah said, if the Lord be God, then follow him. Why? He deserves it. The Israelites should have followed the Lord during the Exodus because he was God. He's the one that brought them out. He's the one that delivered them with his mighty strong arm. They should have followed him. Hey, they should have done it without griping and bellyaching. They shouldn't have done it just because, well, we got a choice, follow him or go back to Egypt. No, they should have followed him because he deserves it, all right? Hey, can I say this? You and I ought to follow him for the same reason. You said he hadn't brought me out. Well, he did me. He brought me out of a miry pit, and he set my feet on a solid rock. Yes, sir, he's done that for you, too, if you've been born again. He deserves to be followed today. Elijah made it real plain that if he was the Lord, then it was surely right to follow him. But nobody said anything. Hey, I'll tell you, as the Lord, he deserves to be followed. And if the Lord be God, I'll tell you, he desires that you follow him. Take your Bible, Matthew chapter 16, would you? Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, look at verse 24, would you? Here's the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? I said, the Lord Jesus Christ. If the Lord be God, follow him. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Matthew 16, 24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Hey, that's what the Lord desires. He said, if any man's going to follow me, let him take up his cross, deny himself. Take up his cross. Maybe that's part of it. We're not big deniers of self. We're indulgers of self. I've started going to the gym. I'm planning to enter Mr. America in a couple of years. All right, I'm not planning to do that. But I have started going to the gym. I was going there one day this last week when I walked in. The lady sits over there at the desk. She knows why I'm there, you know. And she said, enjoy your workout. I said, well, fat chance. When I left, I said, well, I didn't enjoy it, but I did endure it. You see, to work out means self-denial. We don't want to do those things. There is no inborn desire in me to sit on a stationary bicycle and pedal and get nowhere. For minute after minute after minute. Boredness, and I just endure it as long as I can, then I get off of it, all right? Just don't like it. You said, well, get out and ride your bike. Have y'all seen the thermometer lately, okay? Come on. I want to lose weight, but not all in one day, okay? So I endure it. I tell you, I have to make myself go. Hey, the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ, he desires us to follow him. Now he says, if you're going to do it, deny yourself and come follow me. Come follow me. What an invitation. Hey, if the Lord be God, he deserves that we follow him. If the Lord be God, he desires that we follow him. And could I just make it a little more emphatic? Take your Bible, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30, if you would. I want you to look at one verse with me here. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Okay? That sentence, this is the way, walk ye in it, is an imperative sentence. He said, what's that mean? That means it's a command. It's a command. You said, preacher, okay, now what are you trying to say? I'm saying this. If the Lord be God, not only does he deserve us to follow him, not only does he desire us to follow him, but I'll be honest, I think he demands that we do it. I just believe he demands we follow him. He said, this is the way, walk in it. This one right here. Yeah, but I don't care. This is the way. You follow me. You follow me. Oh, but I heard this outstanding speaker, and boy, it was so uplifting, and there was nothing negative, and oh, it just moved my soul so much. Yeah, but God says this is the way. Not the other fellow's way. It's the Lord's way. Hey, folks, I'm going to tell you, all through this book, really, he demands that we follow him. He demands that we follow him. Hey, could I say this to you? Quit being stubborn. Quit being stubborn, doing your own thing. It is amazing how stubborn we human beings can be. Absolutely mind-boggling. We think of it when we talk about little kids. I guess the favorite illustration I've got of this, my dad told it many times about my uncle and his son and my cousin. They were out one day and my cousin was a kid, okay? He's standing up by a porch. Y'all know what those are? Most people don't anymore. A porch, not just a little entryway, okay? A real porch, elevated. He was a little guy and he's standing beside it and he went over there and he started doing this. Concrete porch. And my uncle said, stop that. My cousin looked at him, did it again. My uncle took him and spanked him, as he should have. He said, now don't do that again. He turned him loose. You guessed it. Right back to the same spot, right back to the same thing. Banged his head on the porch. Concrete porch. My uncle went over there again, took his belt, and spanked him again. Quit that. Don't do it again. You got it. He went right back over there. Did it again. We buried him later that day No, he didn't. But you ever heard the beat? He said, "That's a kid." Yeah, and then there's you. Stubborn. You see, God's told us what to do and how to do it, and you say, "I ain't doing that. I'm not doing that. No. I'm gonna do my own thing." Okay, so God whoops you. And really saying, "Don't do that," and you do it again. You do it again. Hey, and your life, you say, "Preacher, I just can't understand. I'm having all these problems and everything's a disaster." Well, did you ever stop to think maybe if you'd follow him? He could straighten that out. That could be different. Are you with me, folks? If the Lord be God, then follow him. Then follow him. Now, folks, if is a little word that says maybe, possibly, potentially. But if you've been saved and you've tried the Lord, you know he's God. You know he's God. I'm not preaching to you this morning to convince you God's God. Now, Elijah was there, and he said, "If the Lord be God, well, I'm going to ask him to rain down fire from heaven. If he does, we'll follow him. And if Baal can get the job done, hey, we'll follow him." God proved that day who was God. And by the way, if you think he's got to keep proving it to you, you're dead wrong. He doesn't have to prove it to me or you, either one. He's already proved it. But don't ask it, "If the Lord be God, don't you think you ought to follow him? Don't you think you ought to follow him? Don't you think you ought to be willing to say, 'I'm done, I'm ready, I'm ready to do what he says. I'm going to follow him.'" Are you going to be like that crowd that said, "My lips are sealed"? Oh, now wait a minute. If you're talking about that exciting prospect and we'll call and he'll perform, whoopee, sounds good. But this business of following him, that's an exacting principle. But I'll tell you this, that's the one you need to get involved in. Yes, it's exciting when God does things for you. It sure is. Let me tell you this, you'll learn to follow him. You'll find out what excitement and happiness are all about. It's being with him. Being with him. Just, a songwriter said, "And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I'm his own." Oh, just to be in his presence. You can't do it if you're not following him. If he's going that way and you're going that way, you don't know that joy. Oh, if the Lord be God, will you follow him today? Will you follow him? Maybe you need to follow him to the cross and be born again. You need to get saved. You need to trust him. You've never done it. You've talked about him and you've heard about it, but you've never really said, "This is the day I'm trusting him and ask him to save my soul." Then this ought to be the day you do it. Follow him to the cross. Oh, but if not, maybe you've been saved, but you need to follow him to the altar of consecration and say, "Lord, here I am, and I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'm with you. I'm with you." Would you do it? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning? Our Heavenly Father, we call upon you today because we sure need you. Lord, when I say, "If the Lord be God," I'm quoting the scripture today.